First, where you work, receive health care, or send your kids to school all depends on where you can afford to live. And in different areas around Wisconsin, the cost of housing is going up and people's incomes are not keeping pace. That has some experts and public officials calling for a renewed focus on affordable housing. This Wednesday and Thursday, a conference in Eau Claire called A Home for Everyone is bringing researchers and community groups together to talk about how to address the state's rising cost of housing. Kathy Camp is the executive director of the nonprofit Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development, the group hosting the conference. Kathy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
And Kurt Paulson is an associate professor of planning and landscape architecture at UW-Madison. His research focuses on affordable housing policy. Kurt, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
Kurt, let's talk about who affordable housing is really for. It could be easy to think it applies only to people with very low or limited incomes, but is that really the case?
No, affordable housing really is something that every family needs, whether it's single-parent households or people with disabilities, seniors, people in the workforce. We see up and down the income scale that when there's a shortage of housing, everyone finds affordability to be a challenge, and they have difficulty getting housing.
So it sounds like affordable can be very different depending on the cost of living in a particular community or, for instance, how much housing is available.
Right. So a house that is affordable in Eau Claire might not be affordable in Madison just because of the differences in house prices.
Or, for instance, I just heard something on NPR over the weekend that I think a two-bedroom apartment averages over $2,000 a month. That would certainly be a lot less affordable here, but it was even a struggle for people in that area.
Right. So an average two-bedroom apartment in Madison might be $1,700 or $1,800, depending on how new it is. But a two-bedroom unit in Green Bay might rent for $900 or $1,000. But income levels are going to be different in different parts of the state as well.
And I've also heard the term workforce housing. Is that the same as affordable housing or is it different?
So there's a lot of overlap in these terms, and people use them kind of interchangeably. We talk about workforce housing to mean the concept that people should be able to afford to live in the same community where they work based on the wages they earn. So it's a broader concept that includes not just people on the lower end of the wage scale, but even modest income or professional workers. So, for example, in my city of Middleton, a starting teacher in the school district or a starting police officer might make $55,000. Which seems like a decent wage in other parts of the state, but they really can't afford to live in our community at that price.
And Kathy, is housing affordability an issue for people around the entire state?
It is. I think that there's no place in the state that someone who makes minimum wage can afford to rent a two-bedroom apartment. So affordability is an issue across the state. As Kurt said, incomes vary, housing costs vary. But for people who make less than $16 an hour, the housing wage across the state of Wisconsin is $16.77, meaning that you have to make that much per hour to be able to afford a basic two-bedroom apartment. And there's really no place across the state where someone can do that on minimum wage or even slightly better than a minimum wage job.
And remind us what minimum wage is right now.
Minimum wage in Wisconsin is $7.25, which is extremely low. And, many of the fast food restaurants, you might make minimum wage, although few people make exactly minimum wage. But even so, the housing wage tells us that on average across the state, you have to make almost $17 an hour to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment. And that varies from in Madison, that number is actually much higher. It's $21.02, which is extremely high when you think about, service workers and really a lot of the jobs that are being created now don't necessarily pay that much money. So as Kurt said, they might have a job, they might have a decent job at $18 or $19 an hour, and they can't afford to live in the community where they work.
And so just to do the math a little bit, so $7.25, so that's only a third of what the housing wage is, for instance, in Madison. And also, mm-hmm. when you're calculating that you need a certain wage to be able to afford an apartment, am I right that that's about 30% of your income that you're expected to spend on housing?
That's correct. They usually stay affordable affordable in the realm of housing is paying about 30% of your income for rent. But obviously at higher income levels, you can pay more than that. And it's not going to impact your ability to afford food or childcare or healthcare. But at that very low income, those very low income levels, if they pay more than 30%, they don't have enough left for the basic mm-hmm. necessities of life.
Kurt?
And the truth is we don't look just at the cost, because you can reduce your housing costs by living really far away from your work or tripling up in a room. And so when we talk about affordability, it's also the broader concept that families and workers should be able to afford a decent, safe, healthy house close to where they work. For a lot of workers, the only way to make housing affordable is to live really far away. That means they're stuck in traffic, or if there's snow, it's difficult to get to work, difficult to get to childcare.
I was going to say that might cut down on one type of cost, but it probably comes with other types of costs, including if you have to leave your kids at childcare for 2 extra hours a day.
Right.
We are talking about affordable housing, what it is and who benefits from it. It's not just the people that may be living in it. Kathy Camp is the executive director of the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development, and Kurt Paulson is an associate professor of planning and landscape architecture at UW-Madison. We're talking about this as we come up to a statewide conference later this week. And Kurt, let's talk about that ripple effect. So what happens if workers are not able to afford to live near where the jobs are? What happens for the employers?
So I've heard from employers around the state that they have difficulty recruiting and retaining workers, especially if you're we've talked to employers who run shift work, good manufacturing jobs or cleaning jobs, even paying $16, $17, $18 an hour. It's hard to get a worker if they're living 45 minutes away. A closer employer might offer them the same wage, then they don't have to commute. Or certainly here in Madison, traffic, snow, getting your kids to school on time, it really becomes an economic development challenge for our employers. I heard from an economic development director in a county a couple weeks ago, and he said they have 600 jobs that are sitting open right now today, but they can't get anyone to move there because there's just a lack of available housing anywhere near where those jobs are located.
And who else benefits when workers are able to live close to where they're employed?
So it fosters community participation, solidarity. When you're working in an area and your kids go to school with the other people who work there, helps to build community. It also reduces traffic.
And so, and also that could have environmental impacts.
Exactly. When workers have to drive long distances just to be able to afford it, obviously that costs them a lot of money in terms of gas, but that just causes a lot of environmental pollution.
And Kathy, a big focus of the conference happening in Eau Claire this week is the impact of housing on health care. What's the relationship there?
Well, there's actually been shown to be a very strong relationship between stability in someone's housing and health, particularly for children, but also for mental health related to the adults in the household. So frequent moves causes mental health stress for the adults, where their children are moving. They're having to move their children frequently, and it creates issues in schools as well, because those kids are changing schools maybe every year. And so it impacts housing also in the sense that our housing stock in our state is particularly old, and some of that housing has lead paint, it has asbestos, it has things that aren't safe for kids to be around. And as people become unable to afford their housing, they move into less and less suitable housing. And sometimes that creates big issues related to health for children.
I have to say, it seems like in many parts of the state, there's a lot of construction going on. There are a lot of new buildings. You would think that at some point these housing costs would at least stabilize, even if they're not going down, because there's just more available. But it doesn't necessarily seem like it works that way, Kurt.
Right. Well, I have a report coming out soon that looks at these trends. And even though we're building a lot of housing units, the truth is, compared to what we used to produce, our housing production has been cut in half. And so even though, especially in Madison, you see all the cranes up, you see all the construction going up, we are building a lot of units, and that's helped prices to moderate, or go up more slowly. But the truth is we're really falling behind because we're adding more people than we're adding housing units. So there continues to be this shortage, this underproduction of housing. And we see that not just in the big cities or fast-growing counties like Dane County or Waukesha County, but we see it in small towns and in the rural areas. So even though it looks like we're building a lot, and that's helped us not have the same problems you would see in San Francisco or New York, right? We're not building enough.
We are talking with Kathy Camp and Kurt Paulson right now about what affordable housing means and how the issue is affecting Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen housing costs take up a larger portion of your monthly budget than it used to? Have you had trouble affording a place to live where you work? And do you feel priced out of certain cities or neighborhoods? What changes do you think could be made to make housing more affordable and accessible in your area? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about housing affordability with Kathy Camp, director of the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development, and Kurt Paulson from UW-Madison. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you felt the impact of rising housing costs in your area? Have you had trouble finding a place to live close to where you work? Are housing costs a big financial burden for you? And what kind of housing do you think your area needs more of? What do you think about the housing issue needs more attention? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we have Patrick in Richland County on the line. Hi, Patrick.
Yes, good afternoon. Great show. You guys are doing a good job.
Thank you.
Which county has 600 open jobs?
That's Barron County, north of Eau Claire.
Right. So what am I missing here? If these are such great jobs, then people would move there and get these great paying jobs, and they'd be good enough paying that you could build your house or somebody would be building spec homes. What am I missing? Maybe they're just not paying quite enough?
Thanks for that call, Patrick.
So that's a great question, and I don't know the particulars of that situation, but in many of our small towns, and it's not just Barron County, I've heard from other economic development directors, it's hard to get developers to come into a community and build housing or to build new housing, and there's kind of a shortage. And so oftentimes to bring in that many people into a new area, you would need to build new housing. And the truth is that the construction costs in Barron County are going to be about the same as they are in Dane County, and so it's going to be very hard, even if someone's making a decent wage of about $50,000, for a new house to be built for anything less than like $250,000, and that may not be really affordable for these high-quality jobs. So there's really a mismatch between oftentimes construction costs and the incomes that people earn. So when we talk about housing affordability, it's the ratio of your housing cost to income. So we can either increase people's income or reduce housing costs. And that's where I think small towns, rural counties, and Barron County is a leader, is getting innovative in enticing developers to come in, maybe helping them with land assembly, maybe some tax credits for infrastructure development. And cities are looking at what they can do to reduce their zoning costs or regulations that drive up the cost of housing and make it hard for people to move or build new housing.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. And Kurt, actually, that was something just before the break I was thinking about. What are some of the creative, in the best possible way, creative ways that municipalities or coalitions can work to help make affordable, available housing a reality?
Right. So we often say that we're never going to solve our housing crisis without more housing supply. We need more of every type of housing everywhere. But just more housing alone won't solve our crisis because, as Kathy talked about, we have a older housing stock and a lot of people will live in already built housing. But the most significant way for municipalities is to look at their zoning regulations and their subdivision regulations and look at to what extent they're driving up the cost of housing by requiring large lot sizes, excessive parking requirements, requiring higher levels of finishing. In many communities, it's really hard to build duplexes, quadplexes, maybe small rental housing, because the zoning codes do not allow it. So one thing municipalities can do is look at their zoning and see, are we providing a range of these different styles and types and sizes of housing that meets different price points?
And actually, Kathy, that was something I was thinking about as well. The range, it seems like if there are, you know, say closer to the center, the older housing stock, like you said, that has a lot of problems, that might be cheaper, but it comes with other costs. But then, you know, as you go out, you have the more expensive, then you have the much cheaper. It almost seems like a type of segregation depending on income and job class.
Well, one of the sessions at the conference is going to cover really that kind of segregation and the prejudice that we are experiencing because of housing types. And it's changed over time in certain communities. The inner city used to be the place where cheap housing was, where the suburbs were on the outsides of communities. And white flight moved people out into the suburb areas. Now that's kind of switching. People with more income want to live closer to the central city. They have they're closer to their jobs. They can afford to live in that area.
There might be more entertainment, restaurants, things like that.
More for them to do, that's for sure. And so we're sort of seeing, you know, a switch in terms of how we segregate, but the fact that we're segregating based on housing and housing type is real.
And Kathy, have you seen projects that have successfully planned in advance so that the developer or whoever is in charge of the new construction commits to providing a range of housing maybe within one complex?
Yes, I think that there's a number of models where that happens, and we've seen it happen in good ways across the state. I think that a lot of it comes back to what Kurt was talking about in terms of cities requiring certain things. I think a lot of times when that works well, it's because the city is applying rules even-handedly across all developers and requiring that some affordable housing be included in every development that is produced.
We're talking about affordable housing in Wisconsin with Kathy Camp from the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development and Kurt Paulson, Associate Professor of Planning and Landscape Architecture at UW-Madison. And what are some of those incentives, Kurt, that can induce developers to not just create affordable housing, but kind of mixed housing?
So there's a number of ways you can do it. In a lot of the cities, what we have seen works is when a municipality will prepare an area, maybe near jobs, near transit, and they will say, like we did in our city of Middleton, this is where we want affordable housing and we want mixed income housing. And then we help the developers to get access to federal and state housing tax credits that help to reduce the cost and make units affordable. But there in our development process, we're really looking for a mixture of incomes, and we want both market rate and affordable units in the same development. But municipalities can use a number of financial incentives. They can use TIF.
Which is tax
increment financing, right? They can help developers submit applications to the state and the federal government for various federal programs, state housing tax credits, federal housing tax credits. There's really a wide range of financial tools. They can provide down payment assistance programs. They can provide grants and loans to nonprofits like Kathy's group that do great in terms of housing rehab and affordable products.
And so it sounds like if there's a will, there may be some ways to get there.
There's a number of tools that a municipality can use. Of course, like anything, a lot of it does boil down to financial resources. And the truth is that, you know, there's a lot of good nonprofits around the state that build a lot of really good, high-quality, affordable housing, rehab existing housing, but it's at a small enough scale, and with more financial resources, they can do more work. And I think you see states around the country are really thinking about stepping up in terms of providing more resources, because we don't anticipate the federal government really fulfilling its commitment to affordable housing and integrated communities.
And Kathy, what's the threshold for qualifying for maybe some kind of assistance in housing? It seems like there, as often is the case, there are people who are really in desperate need of help, and there's quite likely help there. And there are people that are doing fine when we said even spending more than the recommended 30%. What about that probably working middle, working poor? It seems like they're probably having maybe the hardest time.
They do have a hard time. And I think that, you know, federal resources are typically available to people who make less than 80% of the area median income or 60% of the area median income in tax credit projects. So we're looking at people who are not quite at that median. And I think that they're the ones who struggle in terms of finding housing. For one thing, a lot of people in the past used to get make their housing affordable by Section 8 voucher, using a Section 8 voucher, what's now called a family choice voucher. And only about a quarter of people who are eligible for that program can actually get a voucher. So those people who don't get a voucher are paying way more than they should be for housing, and they're really being left out in the cold in terms of affordability.
And there's probably no guarantee that the Section 8 housing is available where they need to or want to live either.
That's exactly right. And they don't have access necessarily to, you know, the neighborhood where their children go to school or where they want to live. And so it's very difficult in that way.
And Kurt, as we wrap up, are you seeing any signs that housing costs are getting more attention from lawmakers, understanding what it means for many of their constituents who might be trying to find employees?
Yes, I think housing is on everyone's radar, and housing affordability is really becoming this bipartisan issue. And we hope that through this continued advocacy that people in the state legislature, as they hear from their constituents, will really start. And I see a lot of leadership from both the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor's office to look at this and to think about it as a systemic issue, to make housing a priority and to work with local governments to expand housing choices, expand options.
Well, Kurt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Kathy, thanks so much for coming in.
It was great to be here. Thanks.
Kurt Paulson is a professor of planning and landscape architecture at UW-Madison. Kathy Camp is the executive director of the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development. We were talking about housing costs in the state ahead of an affordable housing conference being held this week in Eau Claire.